Dave, welcome back to KFGO.
Well, it's great to be back on with you.
Okay, let's get right to it. Gary is first up.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Dave. I have two quick questions for you.
Sure.
If I were to cut a branch off a tree this time of the year, whatever, should I paint the trunk?
No, usually I found that the painting of the trunk usually does as much harm as good. So generally, unless there's some disease or something involved, we don't paint the trunk. So I guess I would just leave it. Just make it a nice clean cut.
Okay. And my second one, we've got a Chinese elm that's growing very close to the house, and we want to get it taken down.
Yeah.
The guy that's going to cut it down said we didn't need to use a stump grinder, as that'll kill the tree when he cuts it down. Is that true?
That's probably not true, because usually most trees get cut down. They will, if you don't use a stump grinder, you don't figure out a way to kill the stump, they're going to grow back. If it was an evergreen or something like that, they don't grow back. But most things, if you like a non-evergreen tree, if you cut it down, it probably will send up a new shoot.
Okay. How about cutting the roots? Some of the roots are above the ground.
Yeah. You could go ahead and cut those off if you wanted to. You know, you can do however to cut those off. But what you could do when he cuts it down and it's a nice, clean, fresh cut, you could treat that surface with Roundup, or you could use a liquid weed killer and paint that on that cut surface, and that may be absorbed into the stump and kill it.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, sure. Anytime, Gary. Bye-bye.
I have to tell you, too, that Plant Talk is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Gene's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Those are all of our great sponsors for today's show. Say is next.
Yes, I have herb plants.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have some herb plants mixed with flowers, and I water with Miracle-Gro mixed in with the water. Can I still eat the herbs?
What about the herbs?
Can I eat them with the Miracle-Gro on them?
Oh, I would rinse them off before you eat them, but otherwise it should not be a problem.
Okay.
Just hose them off or rinse them off, whatever. The Miracle-Gro, usually when you apply it, it gets absorbed into the leaves fairly quickly. But all it is, Miracle-Gro is just a fertilizer like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. It shouldn't be a problem, but I would certainly wash it off before I ate them.
Okay. Super. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call. Laverne is next.
Hi, Laverne.
Hello. Oh, hi. She cut out really bad. Yeah. I had to ask you a question. I had some young cucumbers, bush ones, and some smaller tomato plants. And when I first planted them, I mixed Miracle-Gro with them, and I mixed it like the package said. And in 2 or 3 days, they die all the time on me. Would that be too strong for new plants or what?
Well, I'm not sure that you need to use anything on new plants to start with, because our soil is rich enough so that there's plenty of nutrient in the soil right away without having to add any kind of fertilizer. So I think I would just plant them, don't do any fertilizing, and let them get well established, and then go ahead and do the fertilizing. Now, the other thing you have to keep in mind, though, sometimes when we get new plants now, if they're not used to being in full sun, the sun is awful hot, and it can really burn them, too. So if they're not used to being in full sun, that can be a problem, too.
Okay, because these kind of wilted up and everything, and I just didn't know at that time if I shouldn't have done it when they were new at all. So.
Yeah, it's better. It would be better off if you didn't.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, bye-bye.
Tony is next, Dave.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, couple quick questions for you. In my backyard, I've got two beautiful maples that are probably 30 years old, and another, I think it might be an elm or an ash also that came out. I've got two spots in the yard that had grass for a number of years, but it's gotten so shaded that it's kind of died out in that area.
Right.
And I'm
right.
One is against
right.
the fence line, and the other one is in back of the tree. And
sure.
I'm trying to build that back, and I seeded it last year. It seemed to do a little better, but it didn't get any better. They
okay.
died out in for this year. Anything you can recommend?
Well, the problem you run into, of course, is the shade makes it difficult to get grass. The root system on the trees is fairly shallow, so if there's any shortage of moisture or nutrients, the tree gets it and the grass doesn't. The other thing, if you're going to use a grass, you want to use some grass that is more shade tolerant. So you'd want to use a grass mix that's got a high percent of creeping red fescue. It looks like bluegrass, but it does better in shady areas. But you're always going to have to struggle because of the competition with the trees and the lack of sun. So it's always going to be very difficult to do.
So would you recommend like maybe guiding it off and maybe putting some plants in that area that would be shade
well,
resistant?
You'll have the same problem with plants as you had with the grass. The plants are going to have the same competition the grass has. So it's going to be difficult no matter what you do. You could take that area and put edging or something and put some mulch or something on. That would make it look
sure.
halfway decent, but to try and put grass or plants in a real shady area where it's very competitive with the trees, it's going to be very difficult to have it look good.
Gotcha. Well, thanks very much.
Sure. Anytime. Bye-bye.
This is Plant Talk on KFGO.
Welcome back to Plant Talk with Dave DeCock on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Dave, we're going to keep this thing rolling with you. On the line, we have Jay.
Hi,
Dave.
Say, I got a question. Our rhubarb patch, in the middle of our patch, I have two stalks about 3 feet tall, and they're all full of seeds on.
Yeah,
do I need
yeah,
to bust that's... them out?
I would get them out of there. Just go to the base of that stalk, take a clipper or whatever, cut them
yeah.
out, throw them. It's not unusual for rhubarb to do that this time of the year.
Oh, okay. And can I harvest two harvests in 1 year or just one?
You mean a rhubarb? You can harvest your rhubarb as much as you want during the year.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to
yeah.
do that then. Thank you kindly.
Not a problem. Anytime, Jay. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye.
All right. Now we're on with Robert.
Hi, Robert.
Hi, Dave. I've got a question for you. I've got two rows of garden beans, and they're about, I suppose, 4 or 5 inches high. But
right.
one row, some bugs have eaten... the leaves totally on two plants, but I wonder
okay.
if there's a spray or something I can safely put on them at this stage.
Well, yeah, you could certainly use any of the insecticides you could use as long as it's not a systemic insecticide. Your malathions, those kind of things would be fine. Because you have to wait a certain period of time to eat the vegetable, but your beans, it's going to be a long time before you get any beans, so that would not be a problem. You can certainly use a malathion or a 7 or one of those insecticides, and they would be fine.
They're not too dangerous, then. Is there one no. that's more safer than those, do you think?
You could try. There's we used to use a chemical called Garden Gar. It was a organic type chemical. You could use something like that too. But what tends to happen is they generally are not as effective as the others would be. Now, you don't have rabbits or anything like that with getting in there eating those leaves, do you?
Well, there's rabbits that occasionally. I've got a fence around it, but being it's only two plants, they've eaten the leaves, and steadily they've gnawed at the leaves, so now they're just two stems.
Yeah, I know, but that's an awful lot of eating for an insect to do. The insects might eat holes in the leaves or something like that, but to eat all the leaf off, that's quite a bit of eating for just a small insect.
But
that's what makes me think that maybe the rabbits are getting under your... Go ahead.
The other plants have holes in the leaves, too.
Oh, okay. Now, is the damage from the edge of the leaf on the other plants, or is it little holes in the leaves?
It's holes in the leaves.
Okay. Then, yeah, you probably want to use some kind of an insecticide for that. But The other possibility, too, there is an insect called a climbing cutworm that will sometimes come up and eat the leaves, too. So that's another possibility. But using an insecticide should help with that as well.
And you said that the Garden Guard might help, if that's a safer...
Well, that may help. It's probably not going to be as effective as one of the chemicals would be, but it's an organic kind of material.
I see.
But you could certainly try it.
No kind of dust what, I can put on there.
Yeah, soap? That Garden Guard was a dust.
And a soap wouldn't work too well, huh?
I doubt that it would.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I doubt that it would.
Okay, I'll try those methods.
All right, sounds great. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, Robert. John now, Dave.
Hi, John.
Dave, say we have an ornamental lilac, that has the bush on top of the tree, and this doesn't seem to be blooming like everybody else's in the neighborhood.
Okay. How long have you had it in?
It's been in a good 3 years.
Okay. Has it ever bloomed?
Very little.
Okay. Do you ever prune it?
I have held off the last year or so because I thought that I was pruning at the wrong time.
Right. If you have to prune, now would be the time, because with lilacs, if you prune just after they flower, then they will flower the next year. But if you prune in the spring, of course, they don't. What kind of light situation is it?
Full sun.
Okay, that should be fine. Lilacs like full sun. They like to be kept on the dry side. It may be a variety, too, that takes longer to bloom, because some of them, it takes longer to get them to really bloom good than it does other varieties. So I think if the plant is healthy and everything, I would stick with it. Maybe if you don't have to do any pruning, don't do any pruning. See what you get next year.
Okay, thanks.
5-year-old man to the ground. The police department says the man tripped. Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Mayor of Buffalo suspended the police officers yesterday immediately. And I believe the district attorney is looking into it from a possible criminal liability point of view.
The man is in serious condition at this hour. CBS News Update, I'm Matt Piper.
Plant Talk on KFGO is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jean's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Dave, welcome back to KFGO again.
Well, it's great to be back.
I'm glad you're here, and we'll be taking your calls. 237-5948, 800-880-5346. You can also text us at 35270. And that's the first question we got in here for you. It was a text message. Is this the first one, JJ, about trying to kill their rhubarb?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, Plantac, I have rhubarb that I want to kill off even though I have a backhoe. What's the best way to kill it without using a backhoe or flamethrower?
Okay. Well, those would probably be good ways to do it. If you want to use a chemical, basically what you want to do, anyway, it's not going to be that easy to do. But go ahead, harvest all the big leaves, maybe leave a small leaf or two in the middle. Give it a good watering or something to stimulate a lot of new growth. And when you start to get new growth, then use some kind of a weed killer like Ortho's Poison Ivy Control or something. Use that on the new leaves as it comes up. I would guess that eventually enough of that will get into the root and kill the root.
Okay.
Dave, we also had a question yesterday in our text club at 35270. They were wondering what they can do about ants burrowing around in their patio. And I know that there's is it like a cream of wheat or something like that that you can recommend?
I think what it was last year, whoever called in, I think they were using farina. But I would guess anything like that would probably be fine. I think the reasoning behind that is that they'll gobble the stuff up, but they can't digest it.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that does to the ants, but it's supposed to work. But the ones that people had called in last year, I think they were talking about using farina, but I would guess anything like that would work fine.
Let's get to the phone lines. Dave, Nathan is first up here.
Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Dave. I have a young Princeton elm that I planted a couple of years ago, and there's no defined vertical leader on it. Most of the growth tends to be to one side and
right.
horizontal to the ground. What can I do to right. address that?
Well, you can take the uppermost branch and use a use something like some kind of a straight stick or a dowel or something, and attach that to the center part of the tree. Leave it stick up a little bit above the topmost branch, then take the topmost branch and gradually pull that so that you can attach it to that dowel. And basically what you're doing is you're forcing the uppermost branch to go up if you can possibly do it.
Okay.
And once that goes up for a while and gets established, then you can take the dowel and everything off. But basically what you're doing, you're using some kind of a scaffold thing to take that uppermost branch and get that going upward.
Okay. I will try that.
Sounds great. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Dave, I feel like every year we get questions in about silver maple leaves turning yellow. Is there
right.
something they can do now so that that doesn't happen?
Well, you can use, a lot of people use this powdered iron. It's an iron chelated material. And what it is, it's the problem here, of course, is that the maples are not able to take up enough iron from the soil to keep the leaves green. And the center element of chlorophyll is iron. If they can't take enough up, then of course the leaves are going to get yellow. Even though the veins will stay a little bit greener, the leaves will get yellow. And if it's really bad, you'll get browning around the edges of the leaves and they'll get just totally yellow. There is a material, it's a powdered material, they call it iron chelate. And basically what iron chelate is, it's a form of iron that you can put down into the soil. And it's available to the roots to take up. And when the roots take it up, of course, then you get your green color back. Now, the problem here is that in our soil, the iron in the soil tends to be bound to the soil, and it's hard for some plants to take that iron and use it. But the iron chelated material doesn't attach to the soil, so it's more available to the plant roots themselves. And when they do take it up, then you get your green color back. So if people have had problems with it in the past, they might want to go to a greenhouse nursery and get some iron chelated material. And what I do is I've got a tiling spade, and I go out as far as the branches do, and I'll make numerous holes following that drip line of the tree, and I'll push the spade forward and pour a little bit of this iron in behind, pull the spade out, and then push the sod back. And then once you're done, just water it in good so that it makes that iron available to the roots. The feeding roots are normally out about as far as the branches go. So that would be the area you want to put the iron down.
So there's really no harm in, you know, if you got those yellow leaves last year, there's no harm in doing this now preemptively.
Oh, no. Okay. This would be fine.
Okay.
This would be fine. The other thing, too, is this chlorosis is worse when we get a lot of moisture. So, of course, it probably won't be as bad this year because it's so dry.
Oh, yeah, good point. Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. Doris is next.
Hi, Doris.
Hi. I have a blue hydrangea, endless blooming one that's in a
right.
pot.
Yeah.
It's a great big one. And I
right.
got it like Mother's Day. And
right.
it's not doing well for me.
Okay.
I had it where it got quite a bit of afternoon sun. But I
right.
moved
that
it over.
That should be okay.
It is okay, huh? It was kind of...
Yeah, it should be. It
dry.
Should be. The thing with hydrangeas, I've got a neighbor, he's got hydrangeas on the south side of his house. They grow like weeds and flower like crazy. So the thing with hydrangeas is they will do good in shady areas, but they don't have to have shade.
Oh, okay.
And they do like a fair share of moisture, because the name hydrangea, if you take the first, the hydro... You convert that over, and that basically means water. So they're somewhat of a water lover. So if you haven't been watering much, watering probably would help.
Okay. How about now for fertilizer? They said I had to have an acid fertilizer.
Right. That's the problem with these endless summer. It's very difficult to keep them blue in color, because they're blue in color if the soil is acidic. There are things you can get. There's sulfur in some of those type things that will make the soil more acidic. But it's going to be a continuous battle trying to keep those leaves blue. Typically, what will happen is after maybe next year or so, they'll start being pink. And that's because in an alkaline soil, they will be pink rather than blue.
Okay.
It's just that the pink isn't that great. It's kind of a washed out pink.
Oh, not even a pretty pink. So, yeah. I've got
no,
a
it's not.
Fertilizer.
It's not nothing. Go ahead.
I have a Scotts fertilizer that says it's for azaleas and rhododendrons, I think it is.
That would be good because they're typically acid-loving plants too. So that would be good for that too. But you can buy sulfur, aluminum sulfate. They are things which are used for acidic-loving plants. If you go to a nursery or greenhouse, I'm sure they can find something for you.
I see.
But it's a tough battle.
Okay. I'll give it a try. Thank you.
All right, Doris. Thanks for calling.
Next up is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. I received a part of a bleeding heart plant from my mother a few years ago and planted it in a garden on the west side of our house. And it's only about a foot tall right now. All my neighbors and my mother's plants have all flowered out already.
Right.
This one's just way behind.
Did it
something wrong or is it?
Did it flower last year?
Yes, but same story last year. It was way later than all the other ones in the neighborhood.
That is weird. You know, I would think maybe a little extra water this year would have speeded it up a little bit. But does it have the pink flowers or does it have the white flowers?
It's pink when they come.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know much that a person could do that's going to speed it up any. If it's getting good sun, it should be up right up with the rest. A little extra water, maybe some fertilizer for flowering plants, certainly wouldn't hurt. But I don't know that it's going to make it flower any sooner. The fertilizer may tend to make the plant bigger, but I'm not sure it would flower any sooner.
So yeah, you said something about sunlight. The steps going into our house are just to the south of it, so maybe they are blocking all the morning sun.
Well, it may be a little bit later because it doesn't get as much sun. It's sort of like in the spring, things that are on the north side of things, like hostas or something, they're much slower to come in the spring than something that would be on the east or west or south. So that may have something to do with it too.
All right.
There's still hope. There's still hope for that one.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Keep going on it.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Teresa is next.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. You keep on talking about the thing for the ants, Florina. I don't know what that is. Can you spell that or what is that?
It's something that's used as a that can be cooked for a breakfast food. Farina, the F-A-R-I-N-A.
F-E-R?
It's a cereal,
yep,
I believe. It's
F-A-R-I-N-A.
Right.
Okay.
And you can go on the internet, type that in, and put that in and put ant control or something, see what it says.
Yeah, it's a cream of wheat, Farina.
Right, it's a kind of cream of wheat stuff, yeah.
Yep. Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. Perry's next.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Dave. I've got planted a new lawn last fall, and I was wondering if it was safe to spray it this spring.
Oh, sure. How early did you plant?
We planted last year, Labor Day weekend.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Normally with new lawns, they have to be mature enough to be mowed at least twice. And once they're that mature, you can go ahead and use a weed killer.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Perry. Bye-bye. Thanks for your call. We've got Steve coming up, but I want to get this question in, sneak it in. Someone is in our text club. When mowing the lawn, is it better to bag the clippings each mowing or not? Advantages and disadvantages of both.
Well, if you don't bag it, your thatch layer may eventually build up and you may have to power rake. But if you leave the clippings drop, it tends to shade the soil. It tends to hold moisture better. And there's a certain amount of nutrient in those grass clippings, which will feed your lawn. So I guess I never pick up grass clipping. I always leave them drop. The lawn is fine. I've never even had a problem with thatch, but that would be the only downside I would see, is that there may be some thatch buildup. Now, if your lawn is really, if you really let it get away from yourself and it's like a hay field when you're going to mow it, well, then, yeah, pick them up. But if you mow, keep mowing regularly, I guess I've never picked them up. I've never had a problem.
Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. Steve is next. Dave.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dave. Say, I'm looking for something that will help some erosion, help with erosion control. In the Lake Country, I've got a sloped lawn. Right now, it's grass, okay, but very difficult to mow, and it just doesn't do a lot for erosion control. Someone suggested Engelmann ivy.
Well, Engelmann ivy is the ivy that you see a lot of people have on their chimneys and things. It's very vigorous growing. It would rip down if it was laying on the ground. It's notorious for doing that, too, so you could certainly do that, but it is very vigorous. So you're gonna, once it gets the size you want, you're gonna have to battle it to try and keep it in size, because it's gonna continue to try and go. The other possibility would be something like clover or one of these legumes that you plant that doesn't get real big, like white clover. If you planted that, that would tend to, once that gets established, that would form a pretty tough sod too. That would, I think, stop the erosion.
White clover.
Everybody sprays the lawn to try and get rid of it.
Okay. Okay, but, give it a try. Thank you.
The good thing about that is it isn't real vigorous. I mean, it gets about the same size as your lawn grass gets.
Okay.
It's the weeds in your yard with the little white tops on it, right, Dave?
Right. White flowers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got little white flowers on it.
And almost everybody's got some.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. This is Plant Talk on KFGO. We are making good on our shortened version yesterday. We'll be on till 2 o'clock with retired horticulturalist Dave Decock, the Lord of the Lawn. And we'll be taking all of your calls. Plant Talk with Dave Decock is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jeans the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Dave Decock is with us for Plant Talk on KFGO. Dave, is a 10-10-10 a good all-purpose fertilizer for both veggies and flowers?
Well, you'd be better off if you could find something like a 10-20-10, you would be better.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe a 5-10-5, or if you look at tomato foods or rose foods, there's three numbers on the bag, and the middle number is always as bigger than the first and the last number, and that is what tends to stimulate flowering and fruiting.
Okay.
Now, if you're looking at the lawn, then you probably get something like a 25-10-10 or something like that for a lawn. So if you want to stimulate vegetative growth, you want the first number the biggest. If you want flowers and fruit, you want the middle number the biggest.
Okay, sounds good. Let's get back to the phone lines. Greg is next.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Dave. Say, I got a question about peonies bush. When they come up in the spring, it looks pretty good, and then it's kind of a lighter green than the rest of mine, and then after they flower, it gets like white powder on the leaves.
Yeah, that would be like powdery mildew. Is it shaded at all?
Half the day.
Yeah. I would guess that's probably the problem. Years that we get a lot of moisture, of course, we have a lot more problem with that. If you do water it at all, make sure that you water in early morning so that everything dries off right away. Don't water in the evening. But
okay.
I'm sure it's powdery mildew. And like I say, in years where we have a lot of spring rains and rains into June and July, we have a lot of problems with that. I haven't seen a bit of mine on mine this year, but they're all in pretty good sun. So it's just probably mildew.
Later in the year when they start looking like that, after the flower and stuff, and after I trim them back.
Yeah, no, it's probably mildew is what it is. There are things you could try and treat for it, but anytime we get rain or something, it washes the fungicide off. So I don't know that it's worth doing. And there may be some varieties which are more susceptible than others too. Some varieties of peonies, but I guess I don't know about that. But it is common when we have high humidity, a lot of moisture, that kind of thing.
Okay. Sounds
good. It's certainly not going to kill them.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah. You know, I've noticed that on my peonies every once in a while. It's not every year, but some years, and it doesn't seem to hurt them at all.
No, it's just it's a cosmetic thing.
It's
they just don't look good.
Let's get back to the phone line. Stephanie is next.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi there. Hey, quick question. We did a matador maple this year, this spring, about
9 feet
tall or 10 feet tall, and it came with an attached bamboo stick.
Yeah.
And they said to leave it on because of our winds and stuff like that. But our concern is how in the world are we going to get up there when it starts growing to cut it off?
Right.
And then also, will it, being that that wrap is so tight against the tree trunk, will that prevent it from growing in diameter?
Well, typically what they do, and I'm not sure why they've got a bamboo stick, you know, attached to the trunk. Typically what they do when they plant trees, and you'll see the city and everybody else does that, they'll get a couple metal posts and push them in the ground a ways out from the trunk, maybe beyond where you dug to plant it, and then they'll put ties around to hold the tree so it gets steady until it's established enough so that the wind isn't going to push it over.
And we did do those, too. We were just wondering.
If you did that, too, you say it's about, 9 feet tall?
Yeah, and it came with this on from Baker's Nursery, and they just told us to keep it on for, a year or two. But it's like, I don't know how you're going to get cut down.
Well, the thing is, the tree is going to grow from the top, and, of course, that bamboo stick is going to stay where it is. So, I don't see there'd be a problem taking it off after a year or so. I would assume what's happened is it's probably, the trunk is probably a little bit flimsy, and to keep it from blowing over, bending over, they put this bamboo stake next to the trunk. But it's not a real common thing to do, but I would say in a year or so, I'd go ahead and cut those off. They shouldn't really, hopefully they're not super tight. You know, if they're wrapped super tight, then that could be a problem. But I don't think it would be a problem within a year or so.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you for your time.
Sure. Anytime. Bye-bye, Stephanie.
Okay, we'll continue Plant Talk next Thursday, our regular time next week from 1 to 2 o'clock. Dave Decock, thanks so much for your expertise. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. We'll see you guys next week.
Sounds good. Thursdays from 1 to 2 o'clock, you can hear Plant Talk, and you can get all of your lawn and garden questions answered from the Lord of the Lawns, the King of All Things Green. And it is brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jean's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm.